Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
You've got exactly 10 minutes to decide if you really want to know.
You have failed this city.
Let's face it, this is not the worst thing you've done today. Based on fiction.
Okay, welcome back to, in no particular order, I'm Evan, the third host. I'm joined always on this show by
D-Mac. What's good?
Well, we are back at it again, coming at you with another episode. Now, let me put this out there right now. I know a lot of you in our audience are probably thinking that we're going to talk about this whole situation with the big three, but not this month because we haven't done a list show in a long time. So we're going to stay on schedule, but probably next month or the month after. I feel like next month is technically supposed to be a summit month anyway. So I think that next month we should definitely talk about that, and that gives us time to see where this beef shit might end too. Or we'll get some more developments.
Now hopefully we get a reply back for them for the main event.
Yes, because full transparency, because so as we record here at on April 18th, 2024, so far we had like the Kendrick verse on the future in a Metro Boomin shit, and then we had the J. Cole a response, and then he took it back because like, he let himself down, like he let Nas down. And then we got the Drake response. And correct me if my order is wrong, because Drake came after the call, right? Or did the Metro Boomin and Future's second album come out with a little smaller digs?
Right now, is this a Drake? Well,
I'm talking about like the order. Like, did Drake come before the second Metro Boomin?
No, after.
Okay, all right, so it was Kendrick, J. Cole, right? Yeah. Then it was a Metro Boomin
again.
Second one, with ASAP Rocky taking shots at him. They said that Weeknd took a shot at him. J. Cole was on that album after and then Drake came. And then Rick Ross put out some bullshit that's bullshit.
Yeah, I know.
So that's what we're saying right now. So far, I think as a little preview, so we haven't spoken about this yet. So it's a little preview for next month's summit episode. But who do you think is winning as we are recording now on April 18th?
Aubrey Graham.
You think so?
100%. Only reason why is because, man, I'll just say this. He came at five individuals. He came at a whole bunch of motherfuckers. Look that way.
Good point. Yeah.
And he did some No Vaseline Ice Cube situation. So Ice Cube came at whole NWA and then he dissected them. Boom, 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 boom. So no one in rap disses has done that to the point where you got a group of motherfuckers and you literally like y'all clicking up. I'm about to just go ahead and just snipe all y'all, but I'm also going to focus on the main one who literally was kind of came at me directly in the song. So that's one reason. That's one reason why I give him, an A+ on that. But then I also would give him credit on the trolling. Social media trolling, he been on 10. I ain't never seen Drake this active in my life on social media like that.
And the progenitor of that way is 50.
Yes, yes.
50 started that shit.
For real.
And that is the new wave. Besides being on records like Kung Fu Kenny, you got to do the trolling too. And Drake, I don't want to get too much into it because like, we'll have a whole episode on this next week. Now, that's a very, very strong argument. But for me, I still say Kendrick Route 1. Is winning, barely. Really, you have the right answer, but emotionally for me, Kendrick still win.
I also think Kendrick, before you continue, I also think Kendrick is going to fuck him up a little bit because of that whole AI situation. So when the dude kind of created that shit and said some shit to that third, my man can't use that no more. He can't use that.
Ooh, that's a good point.
You see what I'm saying? So he said at the beginning, it was, at the beginning, I say probably like first couple bars, I'm like, okay, da, da, da. And then it just kind of just went left field, like this shit trash. But the first couple bars, he ain't going to be able to use. Like, that's going to be irrelevant. So you literally going to have to, even, he can't even go in that direction, rather. He has to figure out some way to come at him. But then I also, you know, I'm going to see what Aubrey Graham going to come out with. Because he said, you know, don't let me wake the demon up. You know what I'm saying? So he said, dude, I got some bullshit for your ass. I'm just wait. You know what I'm saying? You come at me. And I think that's the reason why he's eagering it so bad. Because he got something. It's something he got. That's a damn show. And I don't know if Kendrick knows what he has, like, on his tablet or whatever he got wrote down or whatever, by memory, whatever. Because I think he do got something else. That's why he was like,
I feel like they all got, I feel like they all got shit on the trail, honestly.
Nah, for real.
I feel like they all got shit on each other. Because, like, back 10 years ago when shit was sweet, they all were around each other. Like, maybe not collectively as a three-man group, but they all were around each other because Drake took Kendrick on his first tour. Drake gave Kendrick a whole song on his second album and shit, you know what I'm saying? Kendrick and Cole had, like, a whole album that has never come out, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like they all got shit on each other. Because at one point, I won't say they were real friends, but they were at least industry friends.
Yeah.
Now, as another part of that preview before we get to the episode proper, like I told you a few months ago before this even popped off, I wanted to do an episode about the Control verse 10 years later. And I think like 10 years would have been 2013. But this all stems from the Control verse. Everything that's going on now is Kendrick's fault.
yeah, I'll go there with you.
That's not subjective. That is objective. That's what everything went left, bro. And rap, that fucked about that whole generation of rappers. Cause I got videos. They're like, I'll send you. Like, you have a month to get like ready for. You know what I'm saying? Like, that breaks down that whole beef and how it all came from that shit. Everything started from there, bro. Like, that was the beginning of the end. Cause Drake had interviews around that same time, talking about it, and like he was salty as fuck. He was being sassy. Well, you know, I don't really think he was talking to me because I saw Kendrick the next day and there was no smoke. And I just make all these hits on himself. So, and then I didn't know that J. Cole has been having little subs for Kendrick for years too. There's been a cold war in rap since that verse.
No, I didn't know that.
There's been a cold war going on, bro. Like America and Russia in the 80s. A cold war. one little last tidbit, and then we'll get to the episode proper. I feel sorry for the mid three, which is Medium Sean, Wale, and Meek Mill.
Why is that?
Because
I said about Big Sean, but
you mean a medium Sean? Like, never call a Big Sean in my presence. He's Medium Sean. But Medium Sean put out the best song he put out since I Don't Fuck With You the same day that Motherfucker Like That came out. And these motherfuckers know motherfuckers about to drop. And because they all don't like a Medium Sean, they decided to fucking drop that shit on the same day and fuck up his whole way. Cause ain't nobody talking about that song, bro. And that's the best song he put out in a decade.
Damn.
And a fucking Meek Mill put some shit out too. That fell even more flat. Cause, and then like Meek Mill, his whole career is fucked now because like shit with Diddy and shit. But yeah, he put some shit out recently too, but nobody cared about it because he's in the mid three. And fucking Wale, he just cared to put shit out because he's been terrible his whole career. I hate Wale so much, bro. I've never heard the whole Dice Pineapples because Wale comes on first. And Wale's on the song, I gotta turn it immediately. Little fake poetry ass. Anyway, yeah, but like, we'll continue that next month. And the Big Three Summit. But this week, as we said last time, this month's list is going to be about the top five rappers who feature on R&B songs. But question, before we get going, can it also be rappers who have a lot of R&B features as well? Like a rap song combo type thing?
Yeah, because one of the songs I got is kind of like, I guess you can kind of say that. Because one of the artists I got, his song has her in it. But I think her album came out first. Hmm. It's just that he was in the song, but they both got it on each other's albums. But the crazy thing is about it is on his, she's like featured in a way. On hers, he is not, but he's on there.
Oh, probably like some label politics.
Yeah, it's crazy, but it's pretty cool though. This song I'll tell you when we get there, yo.
Yep. Now, and forgive me because I'm old. Now, are we doing the artists themselves or songs? Top five songs that rap song or artists who collab on?
You can say the artists that collab on it, and then just say the song. And kind of, you know, the example would be the song or whatever.
Gotcha. Yeah, because I got artists on here and I have songs in mind, song plural in mind. But yep, I could do it either way. Okay, now that we got like those rules out the way, who is your first choice?
My first choice, I got the FABOLOUS.
He's on my list too. He's on my list too.
Fabulous, which is. I wish he kind of, he kind of slowed down or whatever, making rap and all that, rapping and all that. But yeah, a whole bunch of mixtapes. Dude was on fire when he first came out. The two songs three songs actually. And he's one of the ones I was telling you that was on the artist. He was on Tamia's Into You, because Into You was technically her song.
Yeah, and like that's from like 2000, that song came out years prior.
Years ago.
He was kind of like more so of a remake. He had Ashanti on his at first.
Mm-hmm.
But then when the video came out, he put Tamia in it, which I don't know the whole story behind it, but it had a piece of bullshit going on behind the scenes. But Tamia's came out like 96, 97, I want to say. It's old.
Yep.
His came out like 2000, like either senior year or like college/Navy.
Yep. So when I hear Into You, because yeah, I think he got both of them on his songs out. Well, one with Ashanti and one with Tamia.
I think you're right. Yeah, he had a both on there. That was weird.
Yeah, and the one with Tamia was like way fire. Like I was just sitting here like, bro, you can't even Ashanti can't even hit that note. Like she
not at all. She embarrassed herself. But congratulations, yeah. You played yourself.
Thanks. But yeah, he hit that shit. Flow was cold. Had Tamia on there saying, you know, I don't even want to get into this because I can literally sing the one verse. I don't even want to get into it.
That's one of the best R&B songs. That's one of the best songs of all time, bro.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Then I got one from the Barbershop with Jagged Edge. He killed that shit. And then my next one.
Wait. Was that like a remix? I think he had like a Trade It All Week.
It says Trade It All Part Two.
Part two. Yep. Cause part one was with Lil Mo, wasn't it?
Nah, Trade It All was just him. It was just them, I think.
Yes, you're right.
It was just
right.
Them.
Yep.
And then he jumped on it, and then he did have a song with Lil Mo.
Yeah, a few, I believe.
Yeah. I can't name a couple of them, but I didn't write that one down. I wrote this one because I know his line on here was so smooth. It was on Neo, she got her own. And that's the one with Jamie Foxx. She got her own. Leave her alone, you know. She's so fly. She's so, all that shit. And then he got that one first. She said, how you say? She said, you my baby, so I be stunning like my daddy or some shit like that. That shit's so cold. Like, that's been like on fire, bro. Man, yeah. But yeah, man, he one of my, he in no particular order, he one of my top five on my list.
Mm-hmm. He's on my list as well. And like I was add to it, his two collaborations with The Dream, two maybe more, but like the one I got in mind is like throwing in the bag, just throw it in the bag. And this is a slight tangent, but there's also like, I think the Fabulous like sampled that song again, and like it was sped up. Y'all know me, because all I do is run around and it's cool. If you get it money, just throw it in the back, right?
I think it might have sped up.
But was that like Fabulous sampling the song he was featured on? Because I feel like, because the first one was, just throw it in the bag. It was more of an up tempo, but then I felt like he redid it. I can't remember, and I don't got my phone close to me, but like not important. But also on The Dream's debut single, Shorty is a shit, or on like TV version, Shorty is a 10. Shorty is my sugar honey high C, like, and she is a Pisces. That whole fucking intro verse was cold as fuck. She's a Pisces, and she is the same something, 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 but I do not know her name. Is it Tisha? Maybe Alicia? He killed that shit. His flow on that shit was smooth as fuck, that beat. Man, and like, low-key, I'm not sure if we said this before, but like another brief tangent. The Dream's era was kind of short. Dream had some shit, bro. The first Dream probably had like 3-4 albums in a row that was good.
Nah, you're right about that one. Nah, he was on fire when he came out.
He was on fire and he can't sing. but he was just so smooth on the motherfuckers. Like that first album, like fucking Purple Kisses, bro. Purple Kisses is a masterpiece, bro. I love it when she put them pretty lips on me. That whole album, bro, like for the most part, was the soundtrack to when you and a bitch first started talking, everything going real good, like that honeymoon phase. Y'all just really into each other and shit.
I like that falsetto.
Talking all that shit. Soon as that hit. And also was funny. Like down the line, like man, I have a dream summit. But I found out recently that I Love Your Girl was a diss track to fucking Wayne.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah, about fucking Nivea, because I think it's Nivea. Yeah, cause I think that Dream and Wayne are double baby mom. I'm baby dad to the same bitch, I believe, right? Because I think they both got baby with Nivea, and both got baby with Christina Milian. I might be wrong. Christina Milian for sure, but I think they both also got babies with Nivea. Because I think that I Like Your Girl was about a fucking Nivea. I hope that y'all ain't serious, because seriously, she's on my dick. That nigga is funny, bro. All right. My next official entry, because like we shared Fab, is what something that I still randomly say to this day randomly, especially if I have like some grief with like a woman that I may be seeing at the time. And that song and the artist, and there might be some more song, but the one that put this person on the list to me was just one song. And that's "What Them Bitches Want From My Nigga" by DMX, RIP. One of the best songs of all time. And it's a relevant question nearly 20 years later, 30 years later almost. And it's one of the best rap song collaborations of all fucking time. Cause it was so smooth between fucking, I'ma be a nigga for life.
Yeah, man.
It did so much for fucking Cisco to help him launch like his solo career. And fucking DMX is amazing. So okay, he a thug, but also he got about 4 Kims. He had a whole verse where like he didn't name bitches' names. Well, Tisha Taronda, Lisa Saranda, about 4 Kims, or Asha Meta in an ice cream parlor. I can't think of any other rap, I mean songs, the feature R&B singers off the top of my head, but that's really all you need. So That was a quick one. That's all I got to say about DMX.
Nah, that's a good one. I got a quick one too. He from Houston.
Who?
He's from Houston, from H-Town.
Oh, he's from Houston. Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that would come to a man, Paul Wall. On Jill Scott, Soul Gone. This is like the main one I know. And the song is so cold. Oh, yeah. Quick tangent. Jill Scott, I'll beat the brakes off this one. Like, this wow. One, like, she, to me, she's just so beautiful. I ain't seen her thick. I ain't seen her little plus size. I think it's just the way she carry herself. I think the way she carry herself and her attitude, sexuality, is just like, give me this vibe, like, damn. Like, it's like, it just kind of, I don't know. It's kind of one of them things, man.
I've never seen her as anything besides a BW. I'm not going to say BBW because I'm taking off like the beautiful part. So I've never even looked at her sexually because she was too big for me. Not to say I ain't fucked some bad, like some fat bitches in my day. I wish they had like a girl who was kind of a bigger and she sucked the brakes off my dick every fucking time. But like, it was kind of filler.
But the thing is, though, she's not...
To me, she's fat.
Her weight fluctuates.
Between fat and fatter.
She was thick. And then I see to where she was like a little plus size. Yeah, I'm seeing get back thick again. But like on what's the name, they added weight to her. I Think I Love My Wife, the first one. They kind of added weight to
that's
her.
That's how she's always looked to me. That's how she's always looked to me.
It's just because of the movie. That was the whole ordeal. But then remember, I don't know if you looked, when they ended up meeting back, like, what, 2-3 years later or whatever, and this, that, and third, and she, like, tightened up, and she was, like, just super fucking thick. Yeah, it just, yeah, she was banging. Like, it was, yeah. But I just like her attitude, sexuality, and all that, and I also like her, kind of just like her insight, man. She's different, like, in a special way.
Jill Scott got hairy pussy vibes.
You stupid.
And armpits.
Stupid.
I bet Jill Scott pussy hair go through a butthole.
Oh, man. But nah,
Jill Scott also got a hairy butthole, too.
I would say this, though. We
you fucking from the backseat all like an asshole here.
Before I get back to my topic. Jill Scott or Lizzo? Lizzo is huge. She's huge.
Jill Scott is a double quarter pounder away from Lizzo to me.
Nah.
One double quarter pounder too many, she gonna be like Lizzo Terry.
Lizzo literally looks like she about a quarter pounder away from diabetes. That's how
she looks. No, she had diabetes and high blood pressure already. Guaranteed.
Oh, yeah, I know.
She won a fucking Big Mac away from a stroke. That's what she said.
But now, going back to my son, that's what his son called So Far Gone.
Uh-huh.
Paul Wall do his flow in there, talking about, you know, like a whole bunch of sexuality type shit. He got smooth flow.
Mm-hmm.
It really caught me because you know how Paul Wall and features, he usually kick it. He'll hit you with the one or two lines and they'd be like, damn, like it hit you like, damn, that shit fire. He do the same thing in this song. You see, I know you probably ain't heard it, but yeah, it's called So Far Gone. I think you should take a listen.
I think
you'd probably be like, oh shit, this shit, I fuss with this. Because it's a R&B song, came out with two... I think 2014, 15-ish, roughly. And I forgot how I stumbled upon it. I think I stumbled upon it because it came on the radio when I was listening to Satellite XM. I was like, man, what's wrong with this? And then after that, it clicked. But yeah, that's all I got, though. Paul Wall, So Far Gone. By Jill
Scott.
So Gone, my bad.
So Gone. And like, I imagine that that's off that Monica beat. Silly of me, let the sun beat you home. Oh, it's not? It's not? Okay. Because, like, around that same time, like, that's when So Far Gone beat had got back and, like, everybody doing, like, their own version of it.
No, that ain't it.
Let's stay on Texas for a second. Like, this isn't on my list, but, like, I think I told you about this person before. I'm seeing, like, if you followed up. And being that, like, your primary residence is in Texas, I wouldn't know if you had a chance to listen to that Mexican OT yet.
No.
That motherfucker cold, bro. That motherfucker is cold. And I don't know what OT stand for, but his name is actually that Mexican OT.
A rapper?
Yeah. He cold, bro. Cold. Ice cold.
Yeah, I think I have heard of him. I ain't gonna lie to you. Like,
he got a song out with the baby right now.
I just didn't know where he was from.
And, like, now that you know, like, that he's from Texas, like, it sounded definitely like a Texas sound. 100%. But, all right. My next one is going to be the first song that stands out, and he's done a lot. And some people have argued that he's more geared towards R&B than he is rap. And he's, I don't want to get too much away. What, like, shit, like, the first one that really affected me, that I really thought about, that really stuck with me was, went like this. And people may hate my singing on this show, but this singing that I do on this show brings me joy, so I'm going to keep doing it, even though it's bad. The song that first kept my attention was, I want the money, money in the cars, cars in the clothes, the hoes, I suppose. I just want to be successful.
Yeah.
That song was a mission statement, if you think about it, in the beginning of both their careers. And both of them have went on to get everything that they talked about in that song. Wayne was already there, of course. But for Trey and Drake, the person talking about is Drake, that was a mission statement in the beginning of their careers, and they mission accomplished. Although Trey has kind of faded out now. But Drake, and he's part of the big three. And like, Drake fucking verses on that shit was cold as fuck. I think he was like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the song he was like, wise word from a decent man, back and out trying to put a ring on Alicia's hand. Then, it was talking about like the ups and downs of fame and all that other shit. Yeah, but like, that's like the first example. Then also him and Trey's song had a, No, that's not right to flow, but it went. When I get you to the room, upstairs to the bed, girl, you gon' think you gon' think that it affects. It's a celebration, clap, clap, bravo. For the summers in student and a friend, it's a motto. We can do it all like this. So Trey Songz had another song saying he. When he puts the dick down on his lady friend, she's going to think that he invented sex. Then Drake came on and said, no, to his bitch, he's fucking going to imply that he invented sex.
Yeah.
Bold statement. Hopefully they were able to get the women to think that they invented the concept of sex, although sex has obviously been around since the dawn of time, since we were here, and we come from fucking. Then he had... he had... What's my next one? Yeah, he had a song with Lloyd on his first mixtape. I took a night off for you. Although I think he kind of sung on that one too, but also fire. He had a song with Alicia Keys. If you ask me, I'm ready. And then he had a song with fuck Rihanna. I know you been hurt. Take care. Like another banger. Then he had motherfucking songs with his group Madrid Jordan. He had a song Just Hold On, We're Going Home, Going Home. Although he sung on that one too, he still considers himself mainly a rapper. Yeah, but the hits go on and on and on and on. That he's had with R&B singers, him singing R&B is himself. So Drake is my entry. Oh, one other side note. Do you remember on the Views album? My favorite song on there was Feel No Way. So remember that song? Feel away, young nigga, feel away. Remember that one? Future on his on their new album, he says that on one of the songs, feel away, young nigga. And I'm not sure if you heard about that yet. Have you heard about that?
Mm-mm.
All right, so this should probably be saved for next episode, but maybe we will come back and say it. The thing that's going on right now, a lot of people are bringing out Drake reference tracks saying that he still has ghostwriters. So when Future says, feel away, young nigga, and said that's not new vocals. Those are vocals from 2016 that he did in a session with Drake, that Drake turned and flipped to his album on Views.
What?
Yes.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
that's a sub. So him. So he didn't like re-record that like that hook. He uses reference track from 2016, which is a sub. Which is what Drake does. He'll do a sub that only the person he's talking to knows about, and that's what Future did, which was clever as fuck. So that's at least two or three cold shit that Drake has done that came from Future. Cause like a Future said, Running through the no. Started from the bottom, now we're here. Like that's a Future line. Then that feel away, young nigga. That also came from Future. But yep, that is my. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Nah, I was gonna say, but then you fast forward to Too Sexy for My Game. Too Sexy. That was his number one hit with Drake on his album. So I was gonna say, like, come on, man. Like,
that was terrible.
He gave you your first number one hit. Like you said, like, damn, which is wild. That's a wild for me, too, by the way.
Mm-hmm. The fact that that song was a hit is all is wild. Because that song is terrible.
It's it. Exactly.
Terrible.
But it's Drake. It's Drake. But
it's modern Drake. Modern Drake.
His second number one hit is right now is pretty much like that.
Wait, so that's like the song one. That song with the African chick was the number one? I will wait for you. You. I like. Because that song, that Tim song is new. I hate it when like a song is brand new and then like people who are more popular put out the song as a hook.
Well, okay, yeah. Because
Tim's had
like
that same.
Song. I like a couple of her songs, I ain't gonna lie.
That's the only one I've ever heard. But yeah, but it's a great song, but like, it's gonna be me, a culturist, but being that she's African, I feel like it's kind of voodoo. I
shouldn't feel like my goodness. Yeah, good.
Because like, the words are like, I don't understand what she's saying on there. And then like...
She got a strong accent. It's just a strong accent and so, I mean, what she's saying.
And the song is very soothing and it makes me kind of sleepy. Like, is it like, is it bitch put a curse on me? That's my fault. That's something that I need to get off of.
But, yeah, man. Look, you got to embrace your Africans, man. Your African-American heritage.
African-American, 100%. And I'm embracing it, but we...
You too goddamn American. That's the reason.
Yes. America has fucked us up as African-Americans. Like, tangent. When we were kids, everything of Africa that we were shown was what? Kids with their fucking bellies popping out with flies on their fucking face, feed the fucking children and shit, or fucking voodoo fucking witch doctors and movies and shit. And that fucked me up. I'm trying to overcome that thanks to fucking Black Panther. I'm trying to overcome that. But sometimes Black Panther was like the biggest positive thing we've ever seen of Africa in our lifetime. Like now, like coming back around. But before Black Panther, real shit, everything you thought of Africa was poor. You equated poor with Africa. And Africa is not poor at all. Africa probably got more money than America in most parts of it. But the parts that the quote-unquote white man shows us in America are the most fucked up part, which goes into the conversation that we had before we got on mics.
Yeah.
That's how America fucks Black people up. They're thinking that, okay, shit, our options are going back to Africa. Oh, I want to go back to Africa. Look how they living. So I'm going to say in America had this oppression, not knowing that Africa is beautiful. And said that we would live like kings in Africa.
Somebody once told me about Africa was this, because you know how they show Africa on a map and it's like small. Africa is the biggest continent on the planet.
Yeah,
and they can damn near fit every fucking other continent in it. That's how big Africa is.
Because fucking Egypt is in Africa. So, like, Egyptians are really African. That's why people say that Cleopatra and them are also black, which Egyptians, to me, don't look like us. They dark, but, like, they don't got the same... I mean, they have similar features, but they don't look African.
I ain't gonna say they dark. This is something that was told to me. Tangent. Somebody told me, and this is, he was from Ghana.
Okay.
He told me when you go to the south, up top of Africa, northern Africa, the Africans up there is all light skin. They light skin. That's what he told me. He said they light. And then when you go down, that's when it gets dark.
See.
So he also told me, he said, jokingly, he said that, he said this, he said, yeah, the fake niggas is up top.
It's always light skin versus dark skin. But Egyptians don't even have like features like black people. You know what I'm saying? Like, even their features, now, but granted, that's modern Egyptians. We don't know what it looked like back in the Bible days either. Yes, like, that's a good point. And then there's also in Australia, they got like, what you call them? The Aborigines. And they got weird features and weird, like, they having blue eyes and shit.
They look black. I'm gonna tell you, I can tell you firsthand because I've been there. They look black. They look black, but they look hard. Like, hard, but they ain't been through hell. They so black, they look almost look purple. They dark. And then when you see them, it's like, yo. Because I remember they told us, this is your tangent, right? Because they told us, don't stare at them, don't look at them, but they'll beat your ass, like, straight up.
That's what I heard, too. Right. They real quiet, but like, come up to them.
If you black or somebody, like, you come up to them, like, hey, how you doing, or whatever, they probably talk to you and say, oh, no, like, you know what I'm saying? But the thing about it is, what happened with them is, like, the British moved there and all sorts of shit, but they end up giving them, what do you call it?
Kind of like reparations. They're kind of like money
because they took over.
The Aborigines are kind of like the American equivalent of like the Native Americans.
Yep.
And the colonizers came over and took over their country with all with like they're a fucking penal colony. And then took them all, like, said, okay, people who live here, we're white, we're colonizers, we're taking over your country, so you have this little section over here, right?
Mm-hmm. 100%. And the thing is, though, they never been enslaved and no shit like that. They just, folks just kind of took over, colonized, and all this other shit, but then they end up paying them money. They paid them handsomely. But the thing is, though, they don't even stay around the motherfuckers. They stay in the forest. This ain't no like saying no woods type shit.
That's all I'm
like,
gonna
they
ask.
Got their own shit in the cut. And I was like, damn.
They basically like live in like little tribes, right? Like they don't have like houses and shit, right? Like houses like us. Like they kind of like Amish almost, like to where like they have a different lifestyle, like to where they like wear robes and shit like that. And, like they don't like they usually. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, like, they don't, like, you probably find some that actually probably do got houses and shit, but the majority of them, like, granted, this is, like, 20 years ago when I went.
Right.
They stayed in the woods. They stayed in the forest.
Forest-dwelling people, yo.
Yeah.
Well, they seem content, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're basically black, too. So, like, black, unlike every other race, I mean, yeah, every other kind of people, we have a lot of different features. There's like the prominent African-American features, but the Aborigines are also, in my opinion, definitely black, but there's just a different kind of black. Like, they are a different part of the world when the world got populated. But yeah, I don't know how we got off on that tangent. But anyway,
yeah, no.
So I was talking about Drake, right? So like, I'm all set. Like, who's your next one?
All right, my next one is Andre 3 Stacks.
I forgot about him.
With Giant Legend on Give Me the
Ready to Go Bangs Now. Give Me the Lord.
Like, my favorite verse is, I heard He said, I heard you when you told your girl, ooh, he can get it. Admit it. Mm-hmm. He said, you did it. Let's hop in the cab and split it. You kidding. We're going to where you live and then you get that. He said, I got you getting like a piglet. Oh, is that the ticket? I hope you're more like Anita Baker than Robin Gibbons. No. He said, nah, don't let me do that lady like that, so let me quit it. I'm just style freak. Style freak, I'm telling dude, this is what I'm telling. Man, that shit was so cold. But even at the beginning, like, he said, so I went hard like Medusa staring at me. I told her, let's go. Let's blow this lame nigga factory.
First.
Man, this nigga was flowing. Mm-hmm. And he fought on another one. He fought on a couple of them.
Yes.
On Beyonce, We Like to Party. So she got two versions. She got one with J. Cole. Yep. And she got one with 3000 is the one that's actually on the album. I think she can only get she got J. Cole on the video because of the fact she couldn't get 3000 for whatever reason. But 3000, he did this thing on that. And then 3000 got another one. What's that one? I forgot what the fuck that is.
Oh man, it's on the tip of my tongue too.
I can't even think of his name because I started talking. He talking to this girl at a coffee shop and then just flowing with it. I was like, damn.
Wait a minute. Is that now that melody you just sung is not what I thought. I thought that was something else, but like Demi said, like talking to her at a coffee shop. That sounds to me, I might be wrong. On the video. Okay, so that's not what I'm thinking about then. So like I'll let you rock then. I can't think of it, but I want to add when you're done. But let's try thinking about that one. I'm at the coffee shop,
Shit, I might be able to find.
It's that same time frame too.
Yeah. I can't find it. But nah though, Andre 2000 though, lyrics on point, cold, smooth with it. I pray for an Outkast album. Only reason why I want one is literally just to show this generation what can be done, like lyrics. Some fucking real lyrics coming out, you know what I'm saying? From him to even Big Boy. The Big Boy got lyrics. He had lyrics then, but to me, his lyrics been improved since he even got older.
Yep.
So that's why I'm just sitting here like, damn. So if you end up getting him with Andre 3 Stacks, even though you know people put Andre 3 Stacks on a different level as him, they might be almost close to man. I still get Andre 3000 on the edge. But I say they real close with each other as far as rhyming skills and all this other shit. Because like Big Boy, as he got older, his vocabulary got extremely better than what it was back in the day. Now, back in the day, don't get me wrong, it wasn't trash. But when you with, you know, you matching with a Juggernaut, Andre 3000, it was just like, he was on a whole different stratosphere. To me, I have to say he is one of my top five. The only reason why he ain't on my top five on my hoodie that I got is because I put those guys in the category of best flows, double entendre, triple entendre, storytelling, and speed rapping.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I put like my top five on there. So that's why I end up putting Jay-Z, Eminem, Lil Wayne, J. Cole was the last one. And then who the fuck I put for the fourth one?
You said Kendrick already? What was it, Kendrick on?
Nah, I ain't put Kendrick on there.
Okay. So you said Jay-Z, Eminem.
I haven't seen Kendrick speed rap. I don't think he can do it. J. Cole, I've seen it. J. Cole, yeah. I've seen it.
All right, but you said J. Cole, Jay-Z, Eminem.
J. Cole, Jay-Z, Eminem, Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne. What's your fifth?
Damn, who is the guy? Fuck, he'll come to me in a minute, but But yeah, Andre 3000 is like one of my, like, I say like one of my top five, like really like artists, like boy, because I literally put him with like, oh, Tupac. Tupac was on there.
Yeah,
Tupac was on there. Because I did put Tupac on there because it's flow. He can do this. The only thing with Tupac, I didn't put the speed thing because I never seen the speed thing. But as far as storytelling, double entendres, all that shit, he had a different spin to everything that a couple of them have and some of them didn't. So, but yeah, I actually put Tupac with the Andre 3 Stacks because Andre 3 Stacks could tell a story so beautifully. Mm-hmm. Like on the Art of Storytelling, when he was talking about, he said, I had to see if I still had like Brent Favre and all that other shit. I said, God damn. He was just telling me, like, I mean, she was asking why. How you said? She was like, why you don't make it rain or make it rain at the strip club? And he said, I could make a thunderstorm or whatever. It was just so cold. How he just flow. Man, but I know we ain't gonna never get that Outkast album, that last one, or just. Hell, even a fucking tour.
A tour would be the best bet. Cause like, remember, like last time, like he tried to rap, he put on a flute album.
Man, this motherfucker, yeah, this motherfucker. And then I just look at it, he up here playing a goddamn flute and shit. Like, yeah, I'm gonna put out this flute.
And he said that was supposed to be a rap album, so he can't rap nor he literally just wants to play the fucking flute.
He said he don't want to. Everybody say he don't want to rap because he think that he might be lame. Because of the fact that times have changed and all that shit, and it's almost kind of like he's second down himself. But I'm like, bro, you literally just gave bars on fucking
Killer Mike shit, and those weren't good.
Yeah, it wasn't. I'm not gonna say it wasn't the best, but just having his name on there solidified it. Literally upgraded his shit. Killer Mike shit was it just having his name on it. That's why everybody was like, oh shit, he got bars by this, you know, by Andre. But, like literally, that's how they look at it.
But Andre 3000 is so much of a legend these days. Sometimes if you're a legend, you're better off not putting nothing else out because it's gonna be scrutinized, especially now since the flute album came out. It's gonna be scrutinized so much, he's never gonna make anybody happy.
So,
I kind of feel what he's saying. Like at this point, you'd rather fucking retire on top or change genres as opposed to coming back out and rapping and not having to be good. But the other song that I was gonna talk about for fucking 3 Stacks is one of my favorite rap song shit with him on it, and it's the You remix with him and Lloyd.
That's a good one.
We was like, we in Whole Foods. Because he told a whole story about him going to the grocery store, like seeing the chick, he fucking got froze up when he tried to talk to her. And then on the way out, tried to talk to her again. He told a whole story. And like that song was like, You is a classic song. But the You remix ain't bad either, though. Like, it's not as popular, obviously. But it had like nice little smooth little groove to it. Because, I am a low-key Lloyd fan. Like Lloyd, to me, put out some good-ass R&B. His shit is very sporadic, but, like, that Street Love album is a classic, bro. Like, front to bike, classic, bro. And him getting fucking Andre on there was a perfect remix. But, okay. Next one on my list... He's probably one of the first rappers who had a lot of R&B featured either on his songs or on him on other songs. The one that I'm thinking of that made me put him on a list, and then I'll say this right from jump. You are a much bigger fan of this artist and this person than I am. To me, he's not even in my top 20. But for this list, like he made it barely. And mainly because when this song came out, it was our senior year in high school. It was camo during the winter time, and the woman that featured on the song was looking good in her little snow boots and a little snow hat. And it was a perfect winter time video, and it was a sample from the '70s, which is always something I like. I like my favorite kind of rap has soul samples on it. Always has been. Like, what's it? Right, Texas rap to me is some of my favorite kind of rap because they're really the only region, we'll say, that still does soul samples rarely. But, and of course, because I sing on this show every week now, the song I'm talking about, I'm just going to tell you the artist, and like, this is the girl part of the song, but fuck it, I'm going to do the whole hook. Oh, my pride is a lie. Pride is what you have, baby girl, I'm what you have. Harvey said, have. What's his gaslighting? What's his gaslighting? Like, in modern ears, that is gaslighting, bro. He said, her pride is what she had, which is good. You should have pride in yourself and have pride and not fall for bullshit. But LL Cool J gaslit her and said, pride in what you had. Baby girl, I'm what you have. Said he's above her pride in herself. That's abusive, pretty much, bro. You think about it. Under like a modern lens, he said, fuck your pride in yourself. You have me. You don't need pride when you got me. That's fucked up. But that song is cold as fuck. People make mistakes to break up, to make them sad and lonely. Not just my girl, you my homie. Cause I'm leaving, and I'm out, son, and I'm gonna leave alone. But then he also had, and of course, I'm talking about Ladies Love Cool James. He also had a song that until a few weeks ago, I think I told you about this. I thought it was R. Kelly or a Pharrell on the hook, but it's not. It's some dude had R&B song in the early 90s. And for whatever reason, the song does not have a feature credit. But it's a song when I think it was on his GOAT album. It was like, the smile today, jumping up and up down the zone ways. I'm going to love you better. Mm-hmm. And your friends will sing it too. You can think there's nothing else I won't do. I'm going to love you better. Did you think I meant to hurt you? No. Cry together, lie together. Lord willing, we gonna die together. It's a brand new me, brand new you. I didn't have what Paradise. Love You Better.
By who?
LL Cool J. No, it was LL Cool J. I thought it was R. Kelly or Pharrell.
Okay.
But it's some dude who had a song in the early 90s. And I can't think of his name right now. Yeah, like one hit. But like a dude was the dude singing the hook. And it was always weird that you got a whole nigga singing the whole hook and he's not a feature on there. But I just found his name like a few months ago. But yeah, it was that. I'm going to love you better and your friends will see it too. But yeah, so there's that one. There's Paradise with A-Marie. And there's a hey lover, this is more than the craft. What else? he had a lot of them, bro. Like especially the '90s too. Like those are the ones that stand out to me. Cause I can't think of the rest.
Okay. Say pride is what you have, baby. Get this girl
what you have.
I thought you were gonna go the other way.
Which
one? Cause I'm real. The way you talk, the way you walk, the way you know.
Yeah, that's her and Ja Rule.
Yeah. I almost put them on my list.
That might be coming up soon. Yeah, but first I had to get like that Lady Love Cool James out the way. Yeah, but that's my favorite J-Lo song of all time. In that video, she was looking good as fuck in that video, nigga.
Yeah.
And also senior year. She was looking good as fuck in that video, bro. I'm leaving and I'm outside and then I need you alone cause I'm good. Hold it down my block cause I'm good. And without you, I'll be fine cause proud of what you have, baby girl. I'm what you have. Also, quick note on LL Cool J. I feel like now, if you listen to like his whole discography, he has some very weird songs. Because he had a song in the early 90s that was called Pink Cookies in the Plastic Bag Getting Crushed by a Building. That was about fucking. The pink cookies were the inside walls of the pussy. The plastic bag was the outside of the pussy. Well, like the slit of the pussy. And the building that were crushing the pink cookies was his dick.
Yeah, I know.
What the fuck?
That's clever.
That's not clever. That's weird. That's not clever at all, bro. That's just bizarre. How did you come up with that, bro? Big cookies in a plastic bag get crushed by a building. What, nigga? And then like the song comes on, the art of making love is called. So there's no type of discrepancy or confusion. He's telling right from jump, before you start rapping, the art of making love is called dot dot dot. Pink cookies in a plastic bag get crushed by a bill. That's the most bizarre sex song I've heard in my life.
Hey man, I'm talking, it is. Hey, it's creative, man. Pink
cookies. That's one word for it. I've never told a girl like by a text, yeah, girl, I'm about to crush some pink cookies in my building. Nigga, what? Blocked? You'll get blocked sex like that to a bitch. I'm about to crush some pink cookies in my build. And there's a huge size discrepancy between a bag of pink plastic cookies and a whole building. There's a discrepancy in size there. What building is inside of a plastic bag? That little was a menace for that, bro. But yeah, that's all I got to say about Ladies Love Cool James Todd Smith.
That was a good one, though.
I'm surprised that was a on your list.
Yeah, I went in a whole different direction, man.
I see.
My next one I got, I'm going to say the best for last, is Luda. Ludacris. He was on the main two ones I remember, I know off the rip, is Sierra O.
Yep.
Jay-Z said he said that was like the best lyrics he ever heard, because his whole flow was just how he, I guess how he like went smooth with it. He did that flick, 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 get, tick, tick, tick. And it was just kind of like, but he wrote the beat so hard with it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, damn, this shit sounds, this shit cold. I have to admit, it is good, because I remember listening to Sierra, I'm like, oh, this shit go hard. Then Ludacris, he go and do his thing on there. He also do his thing on the one Sierra song, Riding.
Mm-hmm.
And then she brought him on there. He killed it on that shit.
Yep.
And then the legendary song with Usher, baby.
Mm-hmm.
On fucking yeah, with Lil Jon and all that. He kills it on that shit.
Yep.
But I'm just sitting here thinking in a nutshell, man. Yeah, he cold. He cold when it comes with it. He also, damn.
A Lovers and Friends.
Lovers and Friends. He would be my favorite. He used to be my favorite rapper at one point coming up. And I mean, he still is, but I ain't gonna say he fell off. He just stopped making music and got into the whole movies in Hollywood scene.
Because he fell off.
After
Chicken and Beer, it was over, bro.
Nah.
Yes.
I liked it. because you liked it. I liked it. What was it called? Battle of the Sexes. I liked that one. That one with the Too Low, How Low Can You Go?
That was like him being a parody of himself at that point.
But my favorite album is, I can't even think of it.
I think we've had a conversation before. It wasn't Release Therapy?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite album. That's the one he won a Grammy off of, to be honest. He never won a Grammy off of none of them other ones. He was selling like a motherfucker.
Yep.
He never won off any of the other ones. And when I listened to that album, I could finally figure out why they would give him a Grammy off that one. It's just because he kind of went out of his character realm a little bit.
Run away, love. What's not what
yeah, into like mm-hmm. storytelling. He got in his Tupac bag and got his,
Oh, yeah, you yeah, still there? Okay, yep. Yeah, Blake went out for a second, but you back.
Yeah, that's it, man. Louis.
Fourth one. As you know, it's personal with me in the Chris Bridges, but one that you missed that was a banger, I will admit, because this chick I was fucking all trying to fuck at the time. Love the song. Damn, I should have fucked her, bro. I fucked up. Yeah, because like she lives in. Sorry. I got my phone like a whole little tangent. Artist regret. motherfucking sex room with him and Trey Songz.
Oh, see, yeah. That was on Battle of Sexes.
Yep.
Sex room. That's my shit.
Yeah, like that bitch love that song too, bro. Like, man, I know, man, I bet that bitch had some good pussy too, bro. She like, I should find that bitch on Facebook right now. And she like, she's sick. Anyway, yeah, but a sex room, yeah, like song with fuck Mary J. Blige, from Runaway Love. Holiday Inn, right? No. Holiday, that was all rap. That was all rap. Look, Snoop was kind of singing on that.
He was in Missy shit, but that was rap too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's a good choice. But like, he got some more too, but like, I just can't think of them right now. Oh, Pippin' All Over the World. Sing it, hoes. Yeah. Area codes, because, what's his face? To me, it was technically a singer, right? Like, I think so. Like Nate Dogg? What,
Nate Dogg?
No. Yeah. I call Nate Dogg a singer, bro.
If anything, I put Runaway. Runaway is one with Mary J. Because she did the hook.
Got holes in different area codes.
I think that's a rap. Rest in peace, Nate Dogg, by the way.
R.I.P. Wait a minute. I think he was like a thugged out R&B. I think he was R&B, bro. I don't ever see him like rapping. Like, I can't think of any Nate Dogg song rapping without a melody.
That's how he does. It's a melody thing, but it ain't.
That's why
it ain't rapping like on.
If it's more like I spoke, it's more like every day.
I set it off with Tupac. That ding, ding, ding. He said, "Bitches, dun, 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 sucking his dick, keep on talking shit. She better lay low." Like that's just his thing. He just has a melody where he goes.
Okay, question.
Even on Regulators, that Regulators. Hell, was he on the next episode?
I think he was
on that episode.
I think he was.
Yeah. It's the same thing. He just got melodies when it comes down to shit. That's just his thing.
Do you consider Ty Dolla $ign a rapper or an R&B singer?
No, R&B singer.
Okay. Because people have said that, not a lot of people, but I think the Snoop Dogg even said this, that Ty Dolla $ign is a new Nate Dogg.
I don't know. Maybe. I'm surprised he hasn't been on your list yet, shockingly. For example, because some people could put Garen, he got Best of Both Worlds because he can rap and sing Drake. You could put him as an R&B singer, but he raps. You know what I'm saying? So, and quick tangent.
Mm-hmm.
This what Drake doing right now?
Mm-hmm.
I've been wanting an album like this. With this energy.
Yes. 100%.
I will be his biggest fan if he can give me that.
Yes.
100%. I need him to give me that, what was it called? What was that mixtape? That they said he was ghost.
Too late.
Yeah, like they said he was ghostwriting on, but some people were like, hell no, he wasn't. But that's the type of energy I want, man. Just give me 100%. This energy. on an album. You know what I'm saying? You spit that fire shit. You ain't really got to be talking about nobody if you, unless you want to, but give me them rhymes, bro.
You're swagging up.
Yeah, just give me them rhymes. I'll be like, bro, I will buy off into it all the way. Because you see how much energy, like, if this if he actually had put this shit as an actual song right now, this motherfucker, that should be number one on Billboard.
Man, I feel like since Scorpion, Drake has been too busy trying to chase Michael Jackson to actually put music out that he's passionate about. Because I feel like since Scorpion, his music has had no passion, bro. Like, he's just putting out shit that he think gonna be hit. And then obviously it worked because he was able to surpass Michael. But yeah, I don't think that he's been serious about music since Scorpion. Really, like, since his son was born. Like, I feel like music is not, like, the main thing, like, that he's serious about.
Well, I mean, he didn't last long enough. I mean, he could actually hang it up if he wanted to.
Yeah, yeah. At this point, because Drake is going to have enough money to last a lifetime now. And then, like, what I think Drake should really do, Drake should go off to acting, like, like Will Smith, but do comedies. Because, like, Drake was one of the best hosts of fucking SNL ever. He was incredible on fucking SNL.
Well, I mean, he been acting in the acting scene since he was a kid, so.
But
he knows what to do.
Yep. The thing that he shouldn't do, though, is try to go after an Oscar. Just do some nice little fun comedic roles. I think he'll be perfectly suited for it. He gets more money in his off years. But, like, Will Smith, he fucked himself up because he tried to go after that Oscar. And then when the Academy knows that you want an Oscar so bad, they ain't never going to give it to you.
You remember that?
I think Drake, especially if you're a nigga, but I think Drake needs to stop doing music, transition into acting, do some comedic roles, host SNL, make some cameos. Like, Drake could be like the black John Cena. Like, John Cena takes on roles that are perfect for him. He's not a great actor, but the shit he in, it works. I think Drake should do that and start putting out these mid albums. Drake had like five shitty albums, Bike to Bike to Bike to Bike to Bike to Bike.
Yeah, anyway. I need that because I thought this album, at first I thought this album was like, oh man, it was good. Well, I'm once over it, but then when the second and third, I was like, yeah.
Yep. You know, Drake has not put out an album that I listened to more than one time since Scorpion. I know you like the one with 21 Savage, but I can't get into it.
Oh, that
I
shit
tried.
Was fire.
I tried.
That shit was fire. That shit was fire. I'll say that. That shit was fire. I could fuck with that. That's on my playlist, actually.
I tried time and time again, bro. I cannot get into it.
And to be honest with you, I think that album actually sold more than his regular album. That shit was at 500 and something units this first week.
Oh, yeah, but I think it did, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, like, god damn.
Yeah, but okay, so like, last person on my list is the one that we kind of had of a second ago. And from the beginning of his career, it was a double edged sword, and that person, Ja Rule, because first one that I can think of, my chronologically. I can't say that word, but like, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the first one that he did that had a big R&B influence was that "What Do I Do? What I Do Love for You?" Everybody that be living it up and say "What Do I Do?" That song was a big hit, but in hindsight, that song was trash. But it was a huge hit. It was perfect timing.
My favorite song, not to cut you off, but my favorite song, like R&B wise, is or like slow wise is. Ooh, damn! Never mind. Damn, I gotta switch it up. I was gonna say Always On Time.
That's a monster, though.
One of my favorites. One.
Always there.
I gotta take it back to the one with R. Kelly. Where R. Kelly threw the shoe at the bitch at the end of the video.
Wait, which one? What you talking about?
Man, I forgot. Oh. Okay, I'm trying to think of the song. You try to get the hook. Oh, man, hold on. Let me look it up. Look it up. Keep going. I'm gonna look it up.
Okay. Then he had "What Would I Be Without You," which 50 mocked mercilessly the fuck the song up. But when it came out though, that's everybody was bumping that shit with him and a little Mo, cause baby girl put it on me. Yeah. Which apparently on the album version, Lil Mo's not on it. And Lil Mo needs to be on that song. Cause I'm tired of being lonely. And then he had a song with J-Lo. All these niggas had their business, but the business, I'm rich. Way you walk the way you walk the down, you I'm rich. And then another hitting gem that people forgot about, which was good as fuck, was him and a fucking Christian Milian. Every little thing that we do, so stay between me and you, the freaking things that we do. Just in between me and you, baby. Because Christian Milian was bad back then, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Goddess. What else you had? Also, you had the song that was recently parodied on social media. How that shit went? Oh, man, how that shit go? I know you're getting bored dealing with them. I know you miss my loving, my thug and thug loving. Know you're getting bored dealing with them. I know you miss my loving, my thug and thug loving. Yeah, those are the main ones that I. Oh, and like they had a song with Lloyd. We fucking gonna get caught up. That wasn't as big of a one. Like, but like that song was, you had to hear like the unedited versions, like off of that song to work. Because you had to hear that fucking get caught up. What else? Those are the ones that I could think of, but I think about that R. Kelly one. Because it's kind of come, like, it's in the middle of my mind. Like not from my mind yet, but it's in the middle of my mind. But it didn't go, oh. Oh, right?
Yeah. It's called Wonderful. This guy, Ashanti. He said, do you still want me? Oh, do you still calling me? But I just remember the video when I can't get this shit. You talking to the girl, then you throw the shoe at her.
Yeah. Hey, did it have a second song that was like, if it wasn't for the money, cars and clothes? Something like that.
I think I was just saying, that's the same song.
It might be. That song was a little bit overproduced with like the Shanti part of it, honestly. It should have been those two. Because they had like, that song was the equivalent of a fucking, Aston Martin music, because it had two hooks. Like, God, that's a long ass hook. It had a hook by Aston Martin Music. It had Drake Wood up, came back for you. I just needed time. Like, this hook is 17 minutes long. Well, you got two hooks, Rick. So that Ashanti, R. Kelly, and Ja Rule song is a good song, but I feel like it had like a little bit too much going on. Oh, you're right. Yep, that's how I went.
Yeah, that's fire.
I agree. It was a little bit overproduced. But yeah, it was fire.
I mean, you didn't really have to have her in it, but it was cool that she was. So it was just like, because she only had a little part, but the video was fire, though. Video was fire.
Yep. Yeah, some more big ones too, but like that might be all of the big ones. Cause I feel like him and Lil Mo had like at least two more that were singles.
Yeah.
I can't think of what they was right now. Like Lil Mo was not aesthetically attractive, but man, she had some good ass fucking singing ability. Like I feel like it was a pen gang too, like was called as fuck in the early 2000s.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck got you fell off, but
well, when you aren't that attractive, it's easy for you to fall off. That's just be the bricks of Hollywood.
She's a terrible, terrible man.
Yeah. I mean, she got like 17 kids since then.
I didn't know that.
And her and fucking Kiki Wyatt got the most kids because Kiki Wyatt got like 10 kids under two. Fucking Kiki Wyatt is living her lyrics. She is fucking. But yeah. I wonder sometimes where Ja Rule would be today if a 50 did come and fuck up his whole career. Because like, Ja was hot for a minute.
Yeah, I don't know.
Ja was hot for it. And Ja had good songs.
But Ja's still getting a bag. Ja on his own masters.
According to Ja. But when he owns the masters, right? But what are his masters worth? What are they worth now?
Oh, I don't know. Well, I think they still be good, though. I think they still be good.
How? When do you hear any Ja Rule song in circulation?
Because just off the hits alone.
They were hits then. They aren't hits now. In order for you to keep making money off the songs, they have to continue to generate revenue. How are his songs making any revenue in 2024?
I'm sure somebody playing them. I'm sure
I haven't heard a Ja Rule song in the wild in 20 years, bro. If you put on Jay-Z, if you search for Jay-Z on like your music player of choice, it will go 3 hours straight without playing a Ja Rule fucking a Ja Rule song. It's gonna play every other New York rapper imaginable. It's not gonna play fucking Ja Rule. I guarantee fucking to you. You only hear Ja Rule song if you see him performing at a high school or fucking prom. So Ja Rule masters ain't worth shit, bro. His masters ain't worth the paper they printed on.
I don't know about that, bro. I don't know.
Bro, when have you heard tell me, man. Think. When's the last time you heard a Ja Rule song out in the wild?
Besides me playing it, it's been a minute.
Exactly. You're hearing a fucking
But then, just to be on devil's advocate, it's a lot of shit I don't hear in a minute that back in the 90s, besides main folks, you know what I'm saying? Like Dr. Dre or Snoop Dogg or whatever, but they still relevant out here. Half of them still relevant. They still like producing music. But then I think Ja Rule, he's doing something. I don't know if he on a road.
He's in Africa doing something like recently.
He's doing something.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck he's doing.
But yeah, I can't tell you that. Only your masters is good, but at the same time, your masters have to be worth something. Like you still hear fucking Pump It Up. But I can't tell you last time I heard fucking Living It Up. I haven't heard that song since fucking Zenders. I heard fucking Clap Back. The only Ja Rule song that may have come on, and I probably think is probably his biggest song today, is Put It On Me.
Put It On Me.
What I mean without you. I don't want to think about Drew. So I'm glad that he owns his masters. Maybe one day they'd be worth money, but I personally don't think his master worth shit.
Nah, I think they good, man.
I could be wrong.
But the crazy, crazy thing about owning your masters or owning any kind of publishing, from like royalty checks and all that shit go, like you still get like a chunk of money. Like for instance, I listened to Sway in the Morning. They got Heavy on there. Heavy only got one album. I don't even think she owned it, but she do got all the publishing rights on that motherfucker. So the crazy thing is, she get royalty check every fucking month.
For 12 cents. I've never heard a Heather B song in my life, bro.
That's what I'm saying.
But she's lying.
Yeah, she gay. That's the thing. She gay. She get a check. Like literally, she was like, "I get a check in the mail for publishing, literally every fucking month." And okay, bro. I don't know how much it is, but it's enough to live off of.
Here's how I know that she's a liar. Everyone who I've ever heard talk about the entertainment business, whether it be a TV show, a movie, music, they get them checks quarterly. And she said every month she's a fat face-on liar.
I'm not sure how it goes, but
I think quarter just fine. I think quarter her just fine, but the fact is she's a fucking fat face-on liar. Heather B's not making more than 12 cents a quarter off that shit.
I don't know how it go, but
in the 90s too? What kind of deal did she make in the 90s? It's gonna get her a good check. The 90s? Come on, bro. She's a liar, bro. Prime example. The writer's strike that we had in like last year. It was because that the writers on the shows don't make as much money for streaming because they don't really have reruns. It's a play whenever people want to play it. Conversely, when TV was popping, they got paid every time that their episode that they wrote re-aired. And I followed like this writer on Instagram, and he has a routine every quarter when he gets his check. He'll go on IG Live and he'll open a check right in front of you and show you how much it's for. Granted, this is for, he'll have like 12 checks because he wrote 12 different shows that re-aired in the same quarter. And like some of them are for like 12 cents, some of them for like $100, like depending on the show. And I think the music has to be pretty similar to that. And there's no way that Heather B, and I haven't heard, go ahead.
I'm telling you, like, all right, so check this out. I looked up Irv Gotti, right? Mm-hmm. They say he sold off some of his masters. But some of his masters, I don't know how many it was, but the majority of them was Ja Rule, and it was $300 million.
So Ja Rule or Ashanti? Ja Rule or Ashanti?
It just says some of his masters. It doesn't say who. It just says some of his masters. So $300 million? Like, Ashanti ain't got it. Off her 2-3 albums with them, it ain't no damn $300 million. I can tell you that right now,
bro.
The bulk of it has to be Ja Rule.
I guarantee you, if he got $300 million, $275 million of it was Ashanti, maybe $25 million was Ja Rule.
That's why I don't know how, bro. I'm not quite sure how all that. Equivalents and all that shit. I don't know. I know it does go by what it played today, but it also goes by how much it played back in the day.
That would be
its actual value.
It can't, bro, because it can't.
Give its actual value. That's why everybody wanted it. That's why some
that might give it some of its value. True, I do agree there. Because if it was big back in the day, that does give it some value. But it gives it value, in my opinion, from what I know, because the speculation that it might be sampled or used in a movie because it's a known song. But not because, so because it was hot back then, it's not making money because it was hot back then, but the value goes up, like, so like a comic book that was rare back in like the day, like got that, a few copies of that comic book. Because it was hot back then, you can resell it, which be the equivalent of using a song or using a melody in a new song or putting an old song in on like a soundtrack. So that makes sense. But Ashanti got sampled not too long ago by your boy. What's his name? Signed like the Yo Gotti. What's his name?
Moneybagg Yo?
Yeah, like didn't he like sample her like not too long ago?
I think so.
And then
or I don't know if it was her or it might have been somebody else actually owned it. That
yes.
Hers.
That's good point. Hers. That
that's
was
somebody else's.
Yes, that was a life like Isaac Brothers, I believe, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, yeah. Tory Lanez sampled her too on like a Chicks Takes Five, and she did a song with fucking Jordan Lucas a few years back. That I think also was a sample of one of her records. Also, They say that Ashanti did a lot of singing for J-Lo, like on I'm Real. That's all Ashanti. And I bet the Irv Gotti, who was finessing her back then, owns O Masters too. So that's why that's my argument, a respectful argument, like among brothers, of why I can see Ashanti's catalog being worth more than Ja Rule's. Who said Ja Rule?
I don't know about that one.
I heard Ja Rule on those soundtracks, on those fucking movie trailers. I heard fucking clap back on the fucking Fast and Furious soundtrack. Crickets.
This is what I will say. I don't know who the fuck it was somebody that I don't really listen to. Mm-hmm. Entirely, but they were telling how the royalty checks go as far as the whole sampling shit. He was saying that song, he had to clear the song to make sure it was good because somebody was sampling them. This person, I can't remember who the fuck it was. I don't know, Primo, it was somebody, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Somebody old school, but he was saying he get 5% of that song. 5% of that song. Like you said, quarterly, he was getting a check for $250,000 quarterly.
Yep.
Just sampling 5%. That ain't even the whole song. 5%. That's a lot of fucking money. That's what I was like, bro.
And that makes sense because that song is being sampled. I can't think of a Ja Rule song that's being sampled. That's why I don't think that. Is he getting a check? Yes. Is that check big? No. Because even fucking Joe Button, he still gets checks to fucking Pump It Up. He said, like, they decent, but he can't live off it. But, like, I guarantee that Joe Button ain't get no checks for,
That's because that motherfucker ain't really, he wasn't really relevant like that, man. Everybody knows Joe Button is being
that is a false.
Really Pump It Up. Yeah, like,
the only other, I can name three Joe Button songs. Pump It Up, Fire, which was trash, was anything but fire, and She Don't Put It Down Like You. That's it. I guarantee that if he gets checked for those other two songs, they're in less than $100 a quarter.
Yeah.
Now, because Ja Rule is being sampled on that, not me, what do you call it, GIF? That online video. I bet he get paid off that. Yeah. I think how it worked, if you use someone's actual song on your video, you have to tag them on it. And I think that like they get paid for it. So then if that gets popular on TikTok to where other people keep doing the same shit over again, the remix they call them, they also get paid for that. So that might be getting him some money now, but otherwise, I don't think that his catalog is worth that much money. But at the same time, I'm probably wrong, though, because Mace tried to buy his catalog for $2 million. Well, first 50 tried to buy it for $2 million. And then, I think 50 tried to buy it for like $1
million. Yeah, it was like $2 or $3 million, some shit like that.
But Diddy wanted more than 50 willing to pay. So, and that's when 50 had the bar. He said, Mace ain't worth $2 million with $2 million in his pocket. that's a brilliant bar, bro. You know, it's worth $2 million with $2 million in your pocket. That's a bar. But then fast forward 10-15 years later, Mace tried to buy his own publishing back for that same $2 million that Diddy asked for, something like that. But Diddy said no because somebody in Europe wanted to give him $2.5 million or maybe it was $5 million. But and then also, Mace is like Ja Rule. I don't hear no fucking Mace songs no more. But apparently, it's still worth some money. So yeah, so that does back up your argument. So it's possible. Then I agree. I just had to think about it. Yeah, because that's a concrete argument that I saw on TV. Because Diddy sold Mace publishing like to somebody else for like more than more than what Mace could afford, and I don't see how Mace's publishing is worth $2 million. I'm with 50. He ain't worth $2 million in his pocket. I ain't heard nobody playing. Why are you over there looking at me while my girl standing there? I ain't heard that song since '97. shit, like, what's someone that makes even have a Harlem World? I can't think of no make sequels, bro. Like, the only make songs I can think of, like, I don't know why. And I think that was a Puff song, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What song did Mace have? I remember Welcome Back. Welcome Back.
Yeah, that was on the second one. He had,
Why You All Over There Looking At Me. That's one of the ones that I recall.
Why You Over There Looking At Me While My Girl Standing Here. Do You Like What You See? That my shit.
That shit was cold.
Yeah, the Harlem World. Yes. Which is a sample, too.
Yep.
The Hollywood. That's that one. So.
Mm-hmm.
Why You Over There Looking At Me? I want to say, yeah, another one. That whole album
was fire. Harlem World was a big album, bro. Like, it went like multi-platinum.
Yeah, I actually got that shit. Yeah.
And he had a few singles off it, but I just can't remember what they were. Because that Why You Over Looking At Me, like, that was the first single off his second album. Like, and right when he quit.
Kanye West, I remember you stole a verse from him.
Yep.
When,
yep.
Yeah, that whole, he said, why is that? Who was it? Can I have my penis dragging to the floor? Can I answer the door without no draw, or walk around yep. without no draw, whatever the hell it's called.
Meet me without no draws. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, okay, that is our list. And we have already told you what's going to be the next episode. Like I said, I'm going to send you, over the next few weeks, I'm going to send you quite a few video essays. And some are kind of long, bro. But it would definitely be good research, because like I said, I sat back a few months ago, like before the beef even started with the big three, and I thought about that control verse and all of the damage it caused, because Big Sean's career has never really bounced back from it.
Big Sean's career will never bounce back. They never bounced the first time,
and he had a song called "Bounce Back."
Man, had a couple good songs, but he never had that album. Like, yo, this shit fire. No.
There's no classic Medium Sean album. He'll fuck around and get a fluke hit every now and again. Like, Dance Ass was perfect timing. Make that motherfucker hammer time. I Don't Fuck With You.
Yep.
He had one more.
I like the Marvin one. But,
Marvin Charvin.
Ty Dolla Sign. I think Ty Dolla Sign. Oh. Ty Dolla Sign. Yes. Chris Brown.
Yes. Yep. That might be it. I feel like he had one. Oh, Way Up I Feel Blessed with him and the Kanye. Something like that, right? Like blessings?
Mm-hmm.
I got blessings. Yeah, like, and there's one.
Oh, yeah. Did you say I Don't Fuck With You?
Yes. Yep. That's probably his biggest song, I would say, right?
that shit go hard.
He don't give a fuck about you and everything that you do. The dumbest shit that Medium Shine has ever said, maybe the dumbest shit I've ever heard in music in my entire 37 years. He said, thank you, God. God bless you. What? Thank you, God. God bless you. He said, thank you, God, comma, God bless you. He said, God bless you to God.
I thought he was talking to somebody else, but.
Nah, he's talking to God. He said, he thanked God and then said, God bless you.
God damn.
That's the dumbest thing. Thank you, God. God bless you. What a fucking episode, bro. Thank you, God. God bless you. I think that was on Bounce Back. Either Bounce Back or Blessings. Thank you. Yeah. My home girl from my old job pointed out to me. She was like, this dude is a dummy. He said, good thing you got. Oh, man. That is funny. Thank you, God. God.
Oh, shit.
Oh, you silly Negro. Oh, fuck. That shit is funny as fuck, bro. But yeah, but next month we'll be back with a deep dive into the big three and the control verse, all of the conspiracy theories, because there is a conspiracy theory that says this is all professional wrestling to gear up for J. Cole retiring. So I've heard that rumor too. Well, if it's so, it backfired.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, I didn't hear that, but it's interesting.
Yeah, I've been hearing all type of shit. But yeah, we'll come back with that episode next month. It might be a longer episode because there's a lot to unpack there. Cause we got, like I said, we got to talk about the current beef. Got to go back to the control beef. Go back to Cole and Drake having songs on his second album. That Can I Hate It in the Morning? Whose album is that on? Are we on Cole album or Drake album? I think Cole.
Yeah, it's on Cole.
And then you got Kendrick and Drake with Poetic Justice, baby, put it in the thong. All right. Yeah, that's what you guys have to expect next month from us. So this episode, honestly, we're recording this April, but I think it's going to be May's episode. I think we put one out in April already. I can't remember. I'm old. But yeah, I'm not going to put out two episodes in 1 month just in case I'm not able to record anything else. So yeah, so this is going to be May episode. So in June, expect an episode that's going to dissect and be a deep dive summit into the big three and the control verse. But until next time, that's it. Got anything else to say? D-Mac?
Nah, just stay tuned, everybody. Stay tuned. The beef is coming. The beef is coming. Or the next... The next diss track is coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like I said before, this gives us enough time to hopefully hear some more shit and maybe hear a definitive end to the beef. And I feel like Kendrick is going to have to come back and say something at this point.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people agree with you that as of right now, Drake is winning.
Yeah.
And for the same reasons as you said. But anyway, so we'll save all that for next episode. So we'll talk to you guys next time. Peace out.